Welcome to season 19 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go. Welcome back. Season 19, moving right along. This week's featured conversation, we are joined by my friend Jordan Montgomery. He is a performance coach and keynote speaker out of the great state of Iowa. And I was in Iowa all last week, and I just fell in love with the people and the organizations that we worked with and the people that we spoke in front of. I just loved it. Outside of the weather, I absolutely loved it. And I think you're going to love Jordan, too. He delivers in a big way. He tells a story, many stories, but when you start talking about building relationships with people, it's some of the most important information you'll hear definitely this week and maybe this year. He just really brings it today. Very motivational, very encouraging. I'm just a big fan of Jordan. I hope you, and I know you will be as well. You can look him up on LinkedIn, Jordan Montgomery. You can also go to his website, montgomerycompanies.com. Just a big fan of his work, and I can't wait for you to learn from him. So without further ado, here is my interesting conversation with Mr. Jordan Montgomery. Just a quick word from our sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by LearnLoft.com and the Ultimate Leadership Academy. If you're interested in becoming a better leader in 2019, definitely don't sign up. If you're committed to becoming a better leader in 2019, this is the program for you. It includes our EO 360 assessment, 4 live instructor-led training sessions taught by me, a coaching call, and an online learning academy and community to help you become the best leader you can be. Don't miss out on this opportunity to join the Ultimate Leadership Academy at LearnLoft.com. Committed participants only. Now on to the show. Well, Jordan, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, John. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you have a unique voice and you have a little bit of a unique story. You're a young man and you're making a big impact on people's lives. How did you get into this speaking and motivational speaking and pouring into other people? Where did that come from?
You know, I think God gives all of us just kind of a unique set of opportunities and abilities, and also puts people around us, just to show us purpose. And more than anything, John, I just felt called. I felt like to where I'm supposed to be. I feel like every day I get to do the work that I'm supposed to be doing. And I had great mentors, so I couldn't probably overstate that if I tried. I had some mentors and some people in my life who steered me in that direction and who also kind of showed me the ropes and taught me the way. And if not for them, I'm not sure I would have made the transition, at least not at the point in my life that I was in. And so just a combination of God presented opportunity, blessed us with the opportunity, and then also just great leadership, great people to follow.
Well, you made a leap. You made a career leap that a lot of people struggle with, whether that be fear or other things. Why did you make the leap, and what advice would you give to other people? Not necessarily to leave their job, Jordan, but just the discernment process of figuring out what's next in your professional world.
You know, I think oftentimes, John, I think about, Jim Collins wrote this book, Good to Great, and he talks about the inability for humans to play to their potential, right? Like so many people just kind of settle for good and they can have success, but they don't ever really reach their full potential. And I just started thinking more about that and pondering what it would look like. And not to be great, like Jordan Montgomery to be great, right? But to be great in a sense that I would live out my gifts and that I would use them for things that are eternally significant, that I could leave a legacy on this world and have an imprint and an impact that I'd be really proud of. Mm-hmm. And, so for me, it was more about just leaning into that, just thinking about my future. And, we talk a lot about the power of a 20-year vision. So not just where you're going in 2019 or this year, next month, next quarter, but where do you want to be in 20 years? And the more I pondered that, the more that it led me down this path of having my own business, speaking, coaching, consulting, and working with people like you and others who share a similar passion and a similar vision. So there's a lot more to it than that, obviously, from a pragmatic standpoint. But through a lot of prayer, through a lot of counsel with people that I respected, just decided like that made the most sense to make that transition. And I get to do work that I love every day, which has meant the world to me. So
It's exciting stuff. I mean, I think at the end of the day, we all want to do work that matters. We want to do work that excites us.
That's right.
And also be able to provide to the level that we want to be able to provide to, or the kind of impact we want to have on the world. And I think there's a, what advice would you give to someone working in a large company? There's so many people that I want to get out, but then I see so much great work happening in these large companies too, and people making a great impact right where their feet are. What advice would you give to those people that you speak to, or that are trying to discern what to do next, about that professional work that they're doing?
Yeah, I think people buy who we are, not what we do, you know? So I like to think about it more around who are you and what drives you, and what do you want to give to the world? What do you want to give to the people around you? So I try to live in a world where I'm not defined, and my friends aren't defined, and the people I work with aren't defined by what they do professionally, but rather they're defined by who they are as people. And so I think I just say to somebody listening, that maybe they're in the midst of a decision, or they're in a corporate situation where they'd like to get out of it, or maybe they're content. I don't know where this message finds our listeners. But I'll say this, if you can be where your feet are, and wherever you are, just be fully present. I think it's hard to go wrong, you know? And then the other thing I think that we undervalue is just the power of positivity and optimism. So there's this quote, the world is a looking glass that gives back to each person a reflection of their own image. And I love that, right? It's like wherever you are, if you can give positivity and optimism, if you can be fully present, fully engaged, use your gifts, I think you're going to be just fine. And maybe worry less about what your role is, or what your title is professionally, or what building you show up to every single day, and rather focus on who you are and who you're becoming as a person. And I think if you're really intimately, acutely focused on who you're becoming as a person, what you do professionally just kind of shows up. You know, I think it'll lead you down the right path.
Well, it kind of leads into this, you know, you talk a lot about this kind of being in a growth mindset. So what who you're becoming as a person. Why is this idea of having a growth mindset so important? I mean, it's the beginning of the year, Jordan. People are excited. Yeah. They have goals. They got New Year's resolutions. But why have you kind of intensely focusing on the growth versus the achievement of a short-term goal?
Well, I think we live in a world today, and I was in that world too, John, for a long time, that's really focused on goals, you know? And so performance metrics, production, you know, we talk about that all the time in our sales training, the work we do with clients, right? And I think oftentimes we just don't talk about growth enough, you know? It's like John Maxwell says, if you focus on goals, you may hit your goals, but it doesn't guarantee growth. If you focus on growth, you will grow and you will hit your goals. And the first time I heard that, I'm like, that's it. You know, like we just need to be more focused on growth, and the goals or the outcomes or the results will show up if we're acutely focused again on who we're becoming. And to me, that's focusing on the process and focusing on the journey. Success is found in your daily routine. So it's really leaning into the things that you do day in and day out. And I want to help people with that, you know, and naturally we're going to help people hit their goals. But I'd much rather help people focus on the day in and day out, the process, the journey that ultimately then helps them with who they want to become and where they end up.
Well, it's a powerful thought. And, you know, a lot of the people listening to this show are focused on growth, but they keep coming back every week. Right. And that excites me, particularly when it comes to leadership, something that doesn't necessarily always have, you know, an immediate sales number behind it or something of that nature. You've talked a lot about these, you know, four powers that you've focused on to get in this growth mindset. And, I'm going to share them with our audience, and I want you to go through each of them individually, if you don't mind, Jordan, but there are four powers: the power of focus, the power of relationships, the power of reading, and the power of being unique. Why is the power of focus so important?
Well, I think what you focus on expands. I think our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And so what we think really matters, you know. There's a book by John Maxwell I think everybody should read. It's called How Successful People Think. It's a fairly basic book, but our thoughts lead us down a path, and what you focus on expands. And so, you know, I just think if we're really going to be great, if we're going to play to our full potential, if we're going to live into our God-given giftedness and fulfill our calling, I think we got to be focused on the right thing. And we live in a world today, John, where we are the most distracted generation of all time. You know, 6 million apps on the iPhone and the Android. It is so easy in today's world to get just totally distracted or get off course. I was listening to an Andy Stanley podcast recently. He said, it's never been harder to stay in love and it's never been easier to fall in love. That's just the world that we're in, right? We're just constantly, stuff's being thrown at us. And he was talking about that obviously in the context of marriage and relationships, but man, we got to be aware of that. I think self-awareness, really being acutely focused on what you're focusing on, as basic as that sounds, it matters, you know? And so we just decided, again, back to daily routine, back to attacking the process, back to working on the small things, that focus was going to be a mantra of our work.
What are the things that people can do to stay more focused?
Well, Stephen Covey always talks about begin with the end in mind, right? So that's a loaded question because there's a lot to unpack there. Mm-hmm. Here's a couple practical things, like if we're going to give some practical advice. Right. I think one of the most important decisions you can make every day is when you wake up, and that starts with when you go to bed. The unseen hours, kind of the 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. in our house is when we get the most done. They're the undistracted hours. So if I really want to be efficient, I really want to be productive, I've got to be really great in that space. And I can get a lot done between 4 a.m. and 8 a.m. because there's not a lot of other things coming at me. Whereas if I try to do that in the evening or the afternoon or the morning, you know, kind of late morning, I'll get distracted. I'll get off track. That's how my mind works. Mel Robbins talks about the 5-second rule, another great book that I'd recommend our listeners check out. She says your mind is actually wired for the path of least resistance. So your emotions send signals to your brain, and your brain's really designed to protect you from anything that causes you emotional or physical harm. So whether it's picking up the phone and calling a potential client, whether it's working out, waking up early, we resist those things. We resist change. And so part of it is setting up your environment so that you can move toward whatever's good for you in a very short amount of time. Mel Robbins suggests that window's 5 seconds. So she says, count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you've got to make that decision either to get up or go to the gym or call that client. So part of it is setting up your environment in such a way that you reduce the decision-making process to 5 seconds or less. But then there's a lot more that we dive into if we had more time today, John, around writing your goals, sharing it with stakeholders. But it starts with simple decisions like what time you get up in the morning and when you go to bed.
Yeah, all built around an area of focus. And I think that's so important. I mean, that 5 to 7 a.m. window has been so important for me as well, be it prayer, be it writing, be it all the things, you know, needed to be more working
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
But I think there's a lesson there for our audience, which is what are you focused on? I mean, I want our audience to really think about that right now. What are you focused on in life? Is it just the bottom line? Is it just money? Is it just your family? Is it just your faith walk? What are you focused on? And then have those morning routines and habits reflective to where you should be focused, not necessarily maybe where you are if we're trying to make a change. Let's go to number two, Jordan, which is the power of relationships.
Yeah. So part of that, I think that came out in our work, John. Pretty simply put, I love people. I love being around people. I love being with people. I think there's so much to be learned from the people that we spend time with. You know, there's the adage about you become like the 5 people that you spend the most amount of time with. It's just so true, right? It's true. Like people rub off on us, and your tribe is really important. And so I want to run with the right people. I want to learn from the right people. We often use the biblical example of, and I'll unpack this for our listeners that aren't familiar, but Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy. So, you know, you should have somebody in your life that's pouring into you. That'd be your Paul. Somebody in your life that you're running with, which would be your Barnabas. And then somebody that you're pouring into, which would be your Timothy. I think if those three relationships are really solid, it's hard to go wrong relationally. Because from those relationships stem a bunch of other relationships, right? And so I think for our listeners, John, just to simplify the power of relationships, I just maybe have our listeners think about who's your Paul, who's pouring into you, who's your mentor, who are you running with, who's your running mate, your Barnabas, and then who's your Timothy, who are you pouring into? And a lot of times when we ask organizations or individuals that question, they can answer two of the three or one of the three, but they don't have three relationships that they feel really solid about. And then lastly, we need to change those people, you know, from time to time, right? Like get coaching from somebody else, grab a new mentor, pour into a different person. There's seasons, you know, for all things. And, but at the end of the day, we just wanted to be about loving on people, caring for people. Jack Ma Alibaba, he says this, the richest man in China. He says, you know, I was never great at management, not good at technology. I'm not even sure I was good at sales, but the one thing that I was always pretty decent at was putting smart people around me. And so it all comes back to relationships. And I kind of say the same thing in my journey. Like a lot of things I'm not very good at. If we talked long enough, all that stuff would come out, right? You just started thinking all the areas of my inefficiencies. But the one thing I think if I look back on my life and my journey and I say, hey, we've done an okay job of this is we've put good people around us consistently. And that goes for me. It goes for my wife and the small tribe that we lead. We just want to continue to put good people around us.
One of the hardest parts around relationships is finding those, you know, the Timothy, the Paul, you know, it's the act of building a new relationship with someone that even could become that. And I think that's overlooked a lot when you start talking about relationships. So in theory, having these three types of people in our lives is excellent. And I couldn't agree with you more. What are some of the things that you do as a very good networker, very good relationship builder that you could pass on to help someone step out and maybe ask someone or to go grab that cup of coffee or to, you know, go grab that drink after work, whatever it might be. What are some things that someone could do to go build better relationships this year?
I think, John, authenticity and humility are so incredibly undervalued. And the reason I say that, I just think about the young person that wants to maybe go find a mentor that's listening to this conversation today. Don't believe the lie that you have to have something tangible to offer in order for your time or your relationship to be worth it. You know, like my favorite kind of person is a young person that comes to me and says, and not even a young person, people of all ages and walks of life. I think if somebody just says, hey, I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to get better. You know, there's a lot that I have to learn and I just want to lay this at your feet. And I just want you to know that, any of your time would be valued and appreciated. I always tell people like, if I had the young person that was selling me a bag of rocks for $9 a month, but they were really passionate and they had great energy and great enthusiasm, and they were filled with optimism and positivity and they were humble, I'd buy the bag of rocks for $9 a month. So if you got somebody selling rocks on a call, John, I'm in. But, you know, it's silly. Like, we don't have to have, like, I think, and I see it in my space, you know, people say, well, I'm a coach and I have this content, I have the strategy and it'll revolutionize the way that you do things. Like for us, coaching starts with an authentic friendship. So I tell all of our coaching clients when we onboard a client, I'll say, hey, for us to have any kind of impact on your life, for us to move the needle in your life in any direction, in any area of your life, it's going to start with an authentic friendship. So I need to know you intimately. You need to know me intimately. I want to have a great foundation for our relationship, for our friendship. And then let's start from there.
So how do you think about, I get on the professional side, the coaching piece, right? There's a professional relationship there. How do you think about, it's not the right word, taking, but you know, you learn stuff from other people and you've put in the work and you've been this growth mindset and you're listening to stuff and you're reading to stuff and you have mentors. How do you think someone should approach that ask, whether that be mentor or to run with, to use the second example? How does someone not approach it without it just being like, I'm just taking, like, it's a one-way street here, man. And I think that's an important thing to differentiate, because look, you want to help, you have only so many hours in the day too to help people. So the question becomes, how do you get somebody else to not only be thinking about taking from someone, but also adding value?
I read the book, The Go-Giver, and then I also read the book, The Go-Giver, Sell More. Two more books that your listeners, I'm firing a ton of books at our listeners here. Anybody that wants to understand the principle of giving should check out those two books. So The Go-Giver and then The Go-Giver, Sell More by a guy named Bob Berg. He basically unpacks this truth of obsessively and relentlessly providing value. And he says, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people tell me in all of his work with, you know, salespeople, they'll say, well, I'm not really any good at sales. I'm not really good at soliciting or selling. And he always says back to those people, sure you are, be human. So as foundational and elementary as this sounds, if you want to be great at giving, if you want to be positioning yourself, not just to take, but to give and to provide value, just be human, you know, be generous, be kind, ask great questions, come to the meeting prepared. So we're 30 seconds away in a Google search from knowing everything that we could want to know about the person we're sitting down with. You could learn about their family structure, social structure, hobbies, what they do professionally, what, you know, all that stuff just by doing 1 to 2 minutes of research prior to your meeting. And when you come to a meeting and you say, you know, hey, I've learned this about you. I saw that you took this trip, or I know that you're really involved in your church, or man, you've got this growing family. You just got married, just had a baby. I think it makes us interesting, insightful, and relevant with the people that we meet with. And so that's one of our goals, is just to be insightful, interesting, and relevant in all small conversations. I think when you do that, you don't need to have something to offer that's tangible, right? You can just be right. Yourself. One thing I do think that we need to focus on more, John, all of us, myself included, is sharing our network. So I think one of the most profound and generous things that you could give to somebody that goes missed all the time is sharing our network. So like even on this call today, right? Like there's people that John should know that I know. There's probably people that you know that I should know.
Right.
And we just forget to do it, right? It's like it would take me nothing to tee up an email and say, John, you got to meet my friend Ben, or you got to meet my friend. You know, and it's just so.
Because you never know where those relationships might lead, right?
Yeah, so powerful. The power of a network, you know, just sharing good people that you know that need to know other good people for no other reason than you're good people. You're in growth mode. You two should know each other.
You know? right. No, that's great.
So that's a long answer to a short
question. No, it's not. It's excellent. You know, when you start talking about the power of relationships, thinking about part of that number two bubble should be also sharing your network. We wrote an article a while ago about making network an everyday habit, and it's so true. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but it is so true.
You're great at that.
It doesn't have to be egregious. It could just be, I saw you did this, didn't want to miss the opportunity to connect or learn more from you. It could be as simple as that. We've talked a lot about reading today, so we don't have to cover that much in number three, which is the power of reading. You're clearly a reader, and as we talk a lot about in this show, leaders are readers. So why has reading become such an important part of your life, and how do you make sure, most importantly, how do you make sure you have time for it?
Well, let me first acknowledge that reading was not a big part of my life. A mentor told me that it should be, and then I read this book, Love is a Killer App, by Tim Sanders, and he talks about the power of reading. And so for the first time, I would say really about 6 years ago, I started to kind of fall in love with the process of gaining knowledge and reading. But I also started to understand, and I'll just say this about reading and then we can move on, is there so much more to reading than knowledge. I think a lot of us think about, well, I'm gonna read to gain knowledge. Another Maxwell quote, he always says, let your learning lead to action. I want my learning, I want my reading to lead to action. I don't want it just to learn to gaining knowledge, you know, or lead to gaining knowledge. And then beyond that, there's so many other benefits to reading, right? So, increased, you know, memory improvement, stronger analytical thinking skills, focus, energy. There's just a lot there to unpack, but if we were to go deeper on, and I would, if we had more time, John, the power of reading, I think it just makes you a more well-rounded human being, you know.
And are you doing that from in the morning between 4 and 8? Is that when you do a lot of your reading?
Yep, I do it in the morning. So there's a couple different places where I fit that in. So I actually do my reading in the morning, and then I listen to a lot of audiobook and podcast kind of throughout the day in windows. So I've become sort of obsessed with this idea of time optimization and efficiency. And I had a mentor challenge me. He said, well, maybe you could start listening to an audiobook when you work out. And I thought, there is no way in heck I'm listening to, I just can't do that, right? But if you go to YouTube, there's all this great content set to music by influencers that I really respect and admire. So Tony Robbins, Eric Thomas, Andy Stanley, you can find stuff by those folks Mel Robbins is another that sets music. And so I thought, well, okay, if I work out 4 days a week for an hour each day, that's 4 hours every week that I could devote to learning while I'm also working out. And so small decisions make big cuts. And that was one for me that made a big cut, made a big dent. Mowing the lawn was another one, as crazy as that sounds. I mean, I'd sit out there listening to country music on my headphones. I thought, man, I should start listening to a podcast. So that became the School of Greatness podcast by Lewis Howes. So to the extent that we can optimize our time, and then there's nothing that replaces, you know, actual, you know, reading a book. I mean, diving into a good book, there's nothing that replaces that. But to the extent that you can optimize your time and dig into good content while you're doing some other activity, I think it's also really important.
Do you take notes while you do it?
I do. Harder when you're at the gym, but if you watch me at the gym, people look at me like I'm sounding kind of crazy. I mean, I'll just stop and I'll you know, pump something into my phone. So
that's how
I do it, you know. And but
no, it's excellent. It's amazing how many people, you know, they just flick on Netflix, or you know, they get home and their veg out time, or their time to be by themselves when the kids go to bed or in the morning is. It revolves around something that doesn't really advance them in any way. Not that shows are bad, not that, I mean, some of them are, but not that, not that watching TV or having some time to watch a show that you really like is bad. But, I think you hit a really critical point here. And then the last and the fourth power that you talk about is the power of being unique.
So I think our mission as human beings, as a leader, as a salesperson, as a follower, doesn't matter what position you're in life. I think if your mission is to relentlessly provide value to the people that you interact with on a day in and day out basis, you'll leave an incredible legacy and your gifts will be used in a tremendous way. And so I just consistently think about how do we provide a different experience? How do we provide a different value proposition? How can we impact people in a different way? Than others, you know, and not even as a comparison really, but just to say, hey, I want to do this. I want to live life differently. I want to choose to be intentional about the way that I interact, the way that I ask questions, the way that I lead my family, the way that I lead people, the way that we sell, you know, and I'll give you one example of where this really shows up for our listeners. If you want to examine, this is a great case study for anybody listening. If you work at a corporate office or you've got a lobby or a space where clients or guests come in to visit your space, just pay attention to the lobby talk. So the 30-second, you know, 60-second windows of small conversation where two people are interacting for the first time. It is unbelievably underwhelming. You know, we talk about stuff like the weather. We talk about the Saturday football game. We talk about time. That's a popular one. Can't believe it's almost Christmas. Can't believe it's, you know, almost the end of the year. Can't believe it's already the new year. We always say, kind of joke, if you want to sound really unintelligent, you'll talk about the time of day. The time has always been the same. I don't know why that's such a popular topic, you know. Can't believe it's already Friday. The only reason, I'll make the claim that the only reason that we say stuff like that, John, is because we have nothing else to say. And so if we're not committed to being insightful, interesting, and relevant in our interactions, and you can't be that all the time, right? I'm not saying that every single conversation needs to be that way. But you know where, like, the people that you really want to have an impact on, I would just submit and suggest that we need to show up for those conversations and show up in those interactions in a way that we're going to create impact and be different, be unique, filled with positivity and optimism. It's free to do it, cost you nothing. You can implement it today and makes a big difference on the people that you lead and the people you interact with.
Well, it's great advice. And it is amazing. The one that drives me crazy is when people are like, I'm just, you know, it's great day. It's Friday. Great day. It's Friday. And I'm like, that's sad. Don't say that to me.
Right.
You know,
right.
I like Mondays, man. And
right. Right.
Not that I know. I mean, I love spending time with my family too, but it's amazing how many people are, you know, that's their default to say something just like you're mentioning that living for the weekend, if you will. And it's a good challenge for our audience today. Mm. You know, do you have something insightful to say, or are you just talking about the weather that someone could just pull up on their phone or ask Alexa in 1 second? Like, I don't need you to be Alexa, man. I got that.
Yeah,
so it's great advice. And I appreciate you sharing all four, you know, this idea of the power of focus, the power of relationships, the power of reading, and the power of being unique. I want to end on some fun stuff. Well, one more serious question before we get to the fun stuff. I heard you say that God called you for something special as long as you let them. God called you for something special as long as you let him. Where did that come from? And explain that to our audience.
I think all of us have a purpose, right? Each one of us. Regardless of where you're at today and you're listening to this call, maybe you're in a mountaintop season or you're in a valley. I just think we all have a purpose. We are called here to this earth, to this life for a reason and for a purpose. And I think that we all have music that we listen to, right? Like we have a song that we know we're supposed to play. And oftentimes we don't play it. We're not willing to sing it or play it or dance to it. We hear it, but we don't do anything about it. And I would just challenge our listeners, if you have something you want to do in life, as long as it's moral and it's just and it's for a good cause, right, that you should think about doing it. You know, if it's, starting a small business, if it's being more involved in your church, if it's being more active with a nonprofit, if it's spending more time with your kids, there's music that you hear. There's a song that you know you're supposed to go along with. And literally, I bet, John, if we started interviewing people that were listening to this call, they'd say, yeah, there's that thing. And they're thinking about it right now, right? You're hearing it. You're hearing it and you're thinking about it right now. That thing that you've been wanting to do, write a book, join a band. I mean, do it, you know, just go do it. And as long as it's moral and it's just, I just believe that if we're prayerful, that if we're intentional and, that we have, great intentions, that God can do great things with our lives. And so, I would just encourage people to play your music, you know, listen to the song, play it, dance to it, write it, sing it again. I just feel like today I get to play my music, you know, and it took me a long time. I mean, I heard this song over and over and over, and I just wasn't willing to play it. And man, when you play it, it's a tremendous gift.
Even if it goes slow at the start.
Even if it goes slow. Yeah. And you get off track and it sounds like crap, you know, regardless of what people say and you know what, for me too, it's important for our listeners to hear this, John, like it hasn't always been great.
Right.
I heard this the other day, a post on social media. I thought, man, that's it. The only way to avoid criticism is to be nothing, say nothing, or do nothing. Like, if you want to make a difference, if you want to do something that's worthwhile, you're going to face some criticism. And you're going to have people that say all kinds of things. And I've had that, right? Like, you know, it hasn't always been perfect. I'm sure your journey hasn't always been perfect. I mean, you lead this incredible show.
Still isn't.
Podcast.
Still isn't,
right? Mine either. And I have so much respect for the work that you do. And I'm sure there's people that have questioned you just like they've questioned me. But that's not what I'm living for. That's not my purpose in this life. And I'm here to serve an audience of one. And as long as I do that, put my faith and family first, I think we'll be okay.
Awesome. I love it. There was a story about a guy that really wanted to win the lottery, Jordan. He wanted to win the lottery really bad. I mean, every single day he got up and he prayed to God that he would win the lottery. Mm. One day, skies open up, boom, God's there. He says, I know you want to win the lottery. I hear you every day, but you got to go buy a ticket.
Mm.
You got to go buy a lottery ticket.
That's good.
And there's something about that here where, you know, God wants us to do big things. He wants us to make a positive impact. It doesn't matter if it's in a big company, a small company, speaking, writing, coaching, teaching, doesn't matter. But we got to let them do it. We got to go put in the work. We got to go do it. And
that's right.
And I appreciate you doing it. I think our audience has been blessed today. My last question and my favorite question to ask, you have two daughters, married. What's harder, leading at work or leading at home?
It's a loaded question, but leading at home, you know?
You've been married how long?
So I got married in January. I adopted two children, seven and four, same ages as yours.
Okay.
And so I've learned a lot, man. Like 2018 was a tremendous year of growth. So I basically became a father at the same time I became a husband. And God has taught me so much through a lot of trial and error and a lot of, you know, experience this past year. But I don't know, man. If I'm this respected business person who has in the world's eyes like success, but I suck on the home front, I'd be really disappointed, you know? So to put it simply, like I want to be respected the most by people that know me the best. And the people that know me the best are my two daughters. We have one on the way. We have a baby due in June.
Congratulations.
And, right. And like, and my extended family and our closest friends, I think if I can serve those people well and serve them in a godly way, then I'm going to be just fine. So I would say to me, what's more important is winning at home. It also ends up being the hardest just because I'm more focused on it and I have a higher bar and a higher expectation. It's not to say that we don't have high expectations for how we serve clients or people in the community. We certainly do that too. But my deepest desire is to be respected the most by people that know me the best.
I love it. And my favorite part about that whole thing, which I hope our listeners hear, is I asked him about what's harder, leading at home or leading work. And he said, winning at home is important. And I think that's why people are gravitate towards you, Jordan. You want to win at home, leading and winning, you know, you want to win at home. You want to win at work. You want to win in your faith walk. And I would encourage all of our listeners to try to do the same. Where can people find out more about your work, about all the things that you're doing? Where's the best place for people to check you out?
Yeah, we try to do a decent amount on social media, John. So Instagram, Facebook, and our Facebook page is Montgomery Company. It's pretty straightforward. We do a little bit on LinkedIn. Probably need to do more. My email address, if somebody wanted to send us an email, is jordan@montgomerycompanies.com. We'd love to hear from any of the listeners. Much like you, we try to be fairly intentional with responding promptly. And so, yeah, would love to engage, be helpful in any way.
The website, where can people?
Yeah, www.montgomerycompanies.com.
Okay, awesome.
Montgomerycompanies.com. Appreciate it.
Montgomerycompanies.com, Facebook, you can check them out. Jordan Montgomery, thank you so much for making the time to come on the show. You're a real gift, my friend.
John, I just want to say thank you as well for the opportunity. I appreciate the work you're doing for the kingdom and beyond. And you've been awesome to chat with and share a conversation with. So keep doing great work, my friend.
You too.
I hope you enjoyed another episode of the Follow My Lead podcast as much as I did recording it. Please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. It means a great deal to us. Until next time, be a good leader at work and at home.